It's November 28th, 2010. Welcome to Sunday at CMU. My name is David Balser, your host for Sunday at Canadian Mennonite University. We are a university of the church for the world. I invite you to pray with me. Well, Lord, on this first Advent, we say, come, Lord Jesus, come to comfort us in our sadness. We long for relief for the physically devastated in our world. Come join us in our laughter. We delight in the warmth of friendships and family members. O Lord, above all, we invite you into our hearts, and we say yes to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. In this month of Sunday at CMU, we are pleased to be broadcasting a series of meditations featuring Norm Dick as our guest speaker. He is Executive Secretary for Church Engagement with Mennonite Church Canada and is also an MA grad student here at CMU. The scripture text for today is Genesis 48.
In our text from Genesis chapter 48, Jacob, nearing the end of his earthly journey, is pondering his own legacy. As the events of his life pass before his mind's eye, Jacob recognizes God's divine provision in restoring his family, in returning his beloved son, in saving his family from the destruction of famine. Jacob has lived a blessed life, and the time has now come for him to pass that blessing on to the next generation. Joseph exercises great care in placing his sons Manasseh and Ephraim on Jacob's lap, requesting the all-important blessing which would carry the family into the future. Our text takes great pains to ensure that we understand that Joseph placed Manasseh, the older son, at Jacob's right hand and Ephraim at Jacob's left. In the patriarchal system of the day, the blessing was to be given first and foremost to the eldest son. But in a strange twist that harkens back to Jacob's own deception of his brother Esau, Jacob crosses his hands, giving the blessing to Ephraim, the younger son. One can only imagine that Jacob must have had the small hint of a grin upon his face as he passed on his legacy and once again turned the tables, pointing to a theme that runs throughout our scriptures: the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Even as the years have passed and so much has changed in Jacob's life, so much remains the same. But for Jacob, the legacy that he seeks to pass along surpasses the patriarchal rite of blessing, as we hear in Jacob's words in verse 15 and following: "May the God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May they be called by my name and the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and may they increase greatly upon the earth." For Jacob, this is the significant legacy he wishes to pass along: his faith. Faith in God, who is companion, who is shepherd, who is a redeemer. And as this is true for Jacob, so it is true for all believers, as we seek to pass along a legacy of faith which declares that our God is with us, our God leads us, our God saves us. Let us, together with Jacob, set aside all else to focus upon the legacy of faith we are leaving for the generations yet to come. Amen.
That was Beautiful Savior. Aaron Epp is my interview guest today. What prompted my conversation with Aaron was CMU's 10th anniversary celebrations, during which we're getting in touch with alumni. Here is some of my conversation with Aaron Epp. Aaron Epp is my guest today. We're talking with alumni from CMU. Aaron, thanks for coming down. You're no stranger to the studio here.
No, it's my pleasure, yeah.
Let's just kind of catch people up to say, what are you doing right now? And what are you going to dash off to after we're done here? And then we'll loop back and pick up some of your CMU experience.
Currently, I work as the managing editor at the Uniter, which is the University of Winnipeg's, we call it Weekly Urban Journal. It started out as a student paper, and it still fulfills that role, but is also focused towards the downtown community in Winnipeg. Today is Tuesday. We're right in the middle of production on Thursday's paper. It's a little hectic. We didn't have internet this morning, which, and that's like what we live on, is using the internet to transfer files and whatnot. So it was a little hectic, but that's how it goes. So you got to still work and meet the deadline.
When were you at CMU, and did you start the Uniter right after that?
Okay, yeah, I was at CMU from 2003 to 2007, did a degree in English and as well as biblical and theological studies. When I graduated, I went tree planting and then worked at camp and had 1 or 2 months where I was kind of figuring out what I wanted to do. I knew it was journalism, but it's kind of tricky finding jobs right off the hop. So I ended up working actually at Canadian Mennonite magazine as their national correspondent for 2 years, starting in around November 2007. And also did some work at G's Magazine and was still contributing at the Uniter in a volunteer capacity at that time. And it eventually led to a job as the arts editor at the paper, which then grew to this opportunity to become managing editor, which I've done for about a year now.
Let's jump into the CMU experience. I mean, now you're fully immersed in this, you know, you're trying to hit a deadline for Thursday. You know, yeah. What was it about CMU, or are there particular experiences there that you go, you know, that kind of set me up to succeed in this way?
It's kind of a two-part answer, I would say. The first part is that the courses I took, some of them in particular, very much set me up for career in journalism. I took 2 courses with Aidan Enns, kind of more introductory courses in journalism that were excellent and definitely gave me the tools that I use every day. And also doing my practicum, because each CMU degree requires that the student does a practicum, I ended up doing mine in the communications department here at CMU under the direction of John Longhurst. Through writing press releases or stories for the CMU website or the alumni magazine, some of those stories were sent to Canadian Mennonite and were published in the magazine. So while I was a student, I can still remember one was chosen as a cover story, which was just the biggest thrill when I'm a student and it's the paper that everyone gets, in the constituency.
Awesome.
Yeah, so, and that directly led to a couple months later, John told me that there was this opening. They were looking for a national correspondent. And because my name was on their radar from having been published in the magazine, it led to that job. So taking those courses, having those experiences at CMU have definitely impacted my life and the path I'm on now.
Was there some of the biblical and theological studies that informs who you are and how you function as Aaron at the Uniter or other contexts as well? Did that play into it?
Oh, for sure. And that's kind of the second part of the answer is, I mean, working in the church press as part of Canadian Mennonite, and I also am the Manitoba correspondent for Christian Week, so the stories I'm writing for them, obviously having the vocabulary from the theological training I received at CMU has definitely helped me when I'm writing those stories. I think at the Uniter, you know, the downtown community in Winnipeg, there's a lot of people who aren't upper middle class. They're poor. They're, you know, asking for change or whatever. There's all kinds of those issues. And I think being at CMU kind of opened my eyes to a little more to the realm of social justice and what does it mean for us as Christians to help people who aren't like us or don't have the same advantages that we do. I would say that was definitely sharpened at CMU, that concern for the welfare of others and thinking about how do I live my life? How does that impact other people? How can I help other people? That sort of thing.
Anything else you want to add? Or
just thinking about who's impacted my experience, I just think back and I'm kind of amazed at how much the professors actually care and the people in the community. I remember one professor pulling me aside once and saying, like, are things going okay? And I said, yeah, I was, well, if you ever need to speak, talk with me about anything, like, the door's open. And this wasn't someone who I took courses with. Mm. I think they just knew me from being at CMU and maybe had observed that I wasn't having the best time at that moment and, you know, took the time to pull me aside and make that offer. So it was awesome.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much, Aaron, for coming down and telling some stories and for letting me get to know a little bit more of your experience, too. It's been great.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Here are some upcoming activities at CMU. If you missed Christmas at CMU last evening, you're not too late. You can join us for our second performance this afternoon at 3 p.m. It's Christmas at CMU once again. Then on December the 5th at 3 p.m. in the CMU Chapel, it's the Mennonite Community Orchestra along with CMU senior music student Becky Reeser. For more information regarding these and many other events, visit the CMU website at www.cmu.ca or check your church bulletin. Thank you for joining me this morning for Sunday at CMU. You can listen anytime to the program on our website, and I invite you to pray for our mission of Christian university education. You can send your comments and donations to Sunday at CMU, 500 Shaftesbury Boulevard, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3P2N2, or email us at sunday@cmu.ca. Until next Sunday, my prayer for you is this. May God bless you and keep you. May the face of God shine on you and give you peace. Amen.